The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So let's step into the night. Oh, grab your favorite wands and time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Everybody and welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I want to be as cool as Bill.
Yes.
I want to be as cool as Bill, man. Just long hair and dragon boots and a dragon tooth earring. And you just walk around and you got this air about you. I feel like he listens to Nirvana. But he listened to Nirvana before it was cool. Like he listened to them, like when they were still just in Seattle.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like he was into Soundgarden before they were a thing.
All right. I dig it.
So I wish I was as cool as Bill.
Oh, I can hear
you. Because Bill Weasley sounds awesome.
Well, you know who thinks that you're pretty cool?
Who's
is CLG Ishes says, great podcast on Apple Podcasts. I found your podcast last spring during COVID. I've enjoyed it so much and I'm 58. I tried reading the first Harry Potter book when it was released because my daughter's teacher was going to read it to her third grade class. I'd heard all about the evil about it and wanted to be able to talk her through it. Unfortunately, all the weird names bogged me down. And I couldn't get past the third or fourth chapter. Oh, no, this review gets cut off, so I don't get to see the whole thing. But when her son was in second grade, he read the first book and insisted that she read it, too. So CLG Ishes on Apple Podcasts. I'll be able to read your full podcast on my computer. We're having serious tech issues tonight. Like, they just continue, right? But we want to thank you, and we want to thank everybody who's taken a moment to write in, Blake, and leave some words of you know, just how they feel about the
podcast.
Some
encouragement and some love. Nothing like getting a great review on the podcast. The number 5 Harry Potter podcast in the universe.
Yeah, we got M. Westphal who says, I'm a longtime Harry Potter movie fan, but I've never actually read the books. I just finished the first book and rewatched the first movie and will continue this throughout the rest of the book and movies. Discovered us, Mary and Blake, early this year and love all of our podcasts. Oh, thank you. I knew I had to listen to the Potterverse since I listened to every other podcast of theirs. It's nice hearing more experienced readers and fans talk about their opinions of the chapters as well as a good in-depth analysis. Definitely recommend. Thank you.
And I just want to point out here that Asenath says, on Facebook, I like that you guys are here for us almost every day, Mary and Blake Medium, and also we are here for you, disheveled or non-disheveled days.
Oh, thank you.
Love to you. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Asenath.
Disheveled
Facebook.
Is seriously.
Disheveled is the word of the day today.
Yes. So in this podcast, though, we're going to be talking a little bit. Not a little bit. We're spending the entire time, actually, in a beautiful chapter. So podcast listeners, just know that it has been a day and a half. So this here is chapter 5. And
Weasley's Wizard Wheezes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so, so very much. You know, I'm going to need one moment, Blake.
Okay, I can vamp. Mm-hmm. What I will say is if you're watching live, I actually spelled the entire title incorrectly. I put Weasley's Wizarding Wheezes, and I put the apostrophe in the wrong place. Like, what do we do? The whole thing today is crazy. Ellen says she loves our cat. Kyle Ann says it's 115 degrees in Phoenix right now.
There we go.
I can't even imagine that. Don't even tell me it's a dry heat.
Harry spun faster and faster, elbows tucked tightly to his sides, blurred fireplaces flashing past him until he started to feel sick. and closed his eyes. Then, when at last he felt himself slowing down, he threw out his hands and came to a halt in time to prevent himself from falling face forward out of the Weasley's kitchen fire. "Did he eat it?" said Fred excitedly, holding out a hand to pull Harry to his feet. "Yeah," said Harry, straightening up. "What was it?" "Tongue toffee," said Fred brightly. "George and I invented them, and we've been looking for someone to test them on all summer."
I love how Mr. Weasley's like, "You know, you guys, I got to tell your mother." And she says, "Come," she pops up from behind. "Tell me what?"
Oh, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. But before we do, we wanted to actually take a moment to welcome you all. And if you're not yet a member at jointhenerdclan.com, this is the time to do it. This is the time to do it. We are a mom and pop shop podcast, and you get loads of perks by being a member at jointhenerdclan.com. You get extra book clubs, you get extra interactions with Blake and myself, and out of the goodness of your heart, it's just your way of saying, like, I dig you guys. You make me laugh, you keep me company, and it's for as little as $2. That's less than a cup of coffee a month. You could really help make sure that our podcast and our company keep on going. Because we love what we do and we love hanging out with you all. So, as I said, if we have brought some Lumos in your time and ox, head on over to jointhenerdclan.com. All right, let's get into the show.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Here we are, Blake.
Yes.
Here we are. So all of the Weasleys plus Harry return home through the flue powder, through the fireplace. Fred and George get in some serious trouble, either between Arthur Weasley, who was able to see what happened with the tongue, and then Molly Weasley, their mom, as she figures out what's going on. We also meet all of the Weasleys. They're all there hanging on out, and then they have a beautiful dinner inside their garden. Aww. Oh, and all the while, too, there's just like these little bits, little important bits that start to get like sprinkled in that you just think are sprinkles, but yeah, we're going to hold on to those sprinkles. Well, this and savor them.
These past two chapters have been full of that.
Full of sprinkles?
Full of world building, mm-hmm, and exposition and teaching you about the world, continuing to expand the world in far different ways. Like, now we've learned that there's a magical cooperation thing, and then Mr. Weasley's worried about muggles can be mistreated, and there's massive world building here. I get kind of frustrated a little bit.
Okay.
Because I, of course, I have not yet read this book. So my first experience with The Goblet of Fire is the film. Mm-hmm. And of course, most of this. Sorry, our cat's driving Mary crazy right now. Oh boy, most of this is not in the film, and I feel like there's a reason why it's not in the film. A lot of it seems to me and feels to me superfluous. Am I fair in saying that, Mary?
Yeah.
It just feels
superfluous. This is just like a getting to know the family, once again, the world building. There are sprinkles in here that are important sprinkles, but the film was able to cut some of these sprinkles out.
Yes.
So, and that's going to be a lot of what happens in this book. For those of you who've never read Goblet of Fire, just get ready for a whole lot of like, wow, okay, all right, didn't know that before. So we kick things off with Harry coming out of the fireplace, the boys being so excited about the tongue toffee, and, you know, like you said, Mr. Weasley pops out, and he's so upset what those two kids did. All the while, Harry's getting to meet the cooler, older Weasleys, Bill and Charlie.
I got to read the explanation, please, because it's just great. "How you doing, Harry?" said the nearer of the two, grinning at him and holding out a large hand, which Harry shook, feeling calluses and blisters under his fingers. This had to be Charlie, who worked with dragons in Romania. Charlie was built like the twins, shorter and stockier than Percy and Ron, who were both long and lanky. He had a broad, good-natured face, which was weather-beaten and so freckly that he looked almost tanned. His arms were muscly, and one of them had a large, shiny burn on it. Oh, man, just You got muscle arms.
You got it all.
Calluses on your hands. You're stocky. You just and
like of course you work with dragons.
Yeah, like you're a man. You know, and then it goes on. Bill got to his feet smiling and also shook Harry's hand. Bill came as something of a surprise. Harry knew that he had worked for the Wizarding Bank Gringotts, but that he had been head boy of Hogwarts and had always imagined Bill to be an older version of Percy, fussy about rule breaking and fond of bossing everyone around. However, Bill was, well, there was no other word for it. Cool. Mm. He was tall, with long hair that he had tied back in a ponytail. He was wearing an earring with what looked like a fang dangling from it. His clothes would not have looked out of place at a rock concert, except that Harry recognized his boots to be made not of leather, but of dragon hide. Oh,
you know, it's so funny because, like, when we think of bankers, we do not think of them as, like, super cool and, like, kind of edgy. And yet, this is completely different. This is like treasure hunting. This is like, you know, Oak Island version, but cool.
Yeah, right.
Of treasure hunting.
Not a couple of nerd boy brothers, you know?
Just... And, you know, the another thing that I love is how different the physical attributes are of the Weasley brothers versus what they're like in the movies. The twins are supposed to be short and stocky. They're beaters. They're supposed to have a shorter stature. And yet in the movies, we just know the Phelps twins as just being these like really strong, tall, gangly guys. You know what I mean? Right. And Ron is supposed to be the taller one of them. And yet he, particularly in the first few movies, he's quite short and stocky seen. You know what I mean? So it's just interesting to be reading in the books, to be realizing that the physical characteristics that we continue to pull from the movies are very different than how the author describes them here in the book itself.
Right.
So then out comes Arthur. And you know, he's freaking out, obviously. Like, what did you give them? Why would you do that to the poor muggle? You know, really kind of getting after the guys. And I would love to have a brief discussion about how you feel about Fred and George's behavior. Was it okay? Did Arthur handle it properly? Discuss.
Well, I think you're talking to the wrong guy.
I know.
Because
you're a Slytherin, so
I'm a Slytherin. And I absolutely think it's okay.
You think that what Fred and George did was okay?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
That kid Dudley busted on Harry and has busted on Harry forever. And that family has treated Harry like garbage for forever. Like, no, if he gets a little bit of a zinger, you know what? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing that can't be fixed. Nothing that can't be put back.
Had Arthur Weasley gone through the flu powder before he realized what was wrong with Dudley, it might not have been fixed. It might not have been put back. This isn't like a little pigtail. This is a ton of a tongue.
But they knew that his father was there. They knew that his father was going to
take it. No, they dropped it. They weren't like, here you go, buddy. Like, let's just go for it. No, I see it as really, really poor, mischievous behavior. Now, I love the Weasleys. I love the Weasley twins in many ways, but I think that this is a really poor choice. Yes, is Dudley a terrible, terrible bullying brat? You betcha. But he's also 16 years old, being raised by parents who've taught him that this behavior is okay. I would have almost rather him do this to Vernon Dursley rather than Dudley. And then, like, they do it. But as I said, it wasn't even that it was going to be like a safe trial because their dad could have come back through the flu powder. Not okay. Not okay. And then he comes through and he's like, I might tell your mom. Because I like that Harry has to say, like, yeah, he is a real git. And Vernon just got to see, like, this chapter picks up right where we left off, where Vernon did not say goodbye to Harry.
Right.
You know, so Arthur's feeling all these feelings like, oh my gosh, Harry's mistreated. This kid is a big tongue. My sons are playing pranks on muggles, and this is what I try not to do, you know. And then he doesn't necessarily want to tell Molly. Why do you think? Why do you think he's like, don't make me tell your mother? And then she says, tell me what? And he's like, nothing. Why doesn't he tell Molly right away? I've got an idea.
I want to hear your idea.
My idea is that he is trying to save Molly's sanity. I don't think he's trying to like lie to her. I don't think that he's like, oh, what they did is kind of okay. I don't think he's like, it's all right, guys. It's fine. I think that Molly's got a lot on her plate. I mean, she's just a flustered woman to begin with. She's got all these kids coming in. They're all going to the Quidditch World Cup and she has to make dinner for everybody. I mean, we read later in the chapter, everything's going wrong. She's got these joke wands laying around and he's like, Molly is about to have a panic attack in front of Harry Potter. So
where's the lorazepam?
And we joke because that is something that is in this household. So if you are on anxiety medication or have panic attacks, know that it's
Blake and I speak alone. Of this.
Yes. So yeah, I think he's doing it to kind of protect Molly's sanity because it's like it's just going to be one more thing and this may break the camel's back. Why do you think he doesn't tell her?
You know, that's actually the perfect theory, Mary.
Because some people think he does it because A, he feels really bad for Harry and he kind of wants the Dursleys to get a little some comeuppance. But once again, I don't think he would want to take it out on the kid.
Yeah, I don't think that.
You know?
I don't think that he wants the Dursleys to get comeuppance. I mean, I could see why you would make that argument, but he doesn't feel like, to me, that kind of vindictive person.
Agreed.
He feels to me like, I don't want to tell Molly because this happened on my watch. And
I told her I could take all the boys.
I said I could do it.
And she said, are you sure you want those twins? You don't need those twins. You just need Ron. But I said, I can handle the twins.
Yeah, we're good. I want to show her that I'm a
I can good, change diapers.
I'm a good dad.
I could take care of the twins.
I got a plan. I did the flu powder thing. I even got it connected. I got all these things right. But he uses that as a way to tell the boys, hey, take a hike, all right? Because if you don't, I'm going to tell your mother. And then she just happens to pop in at the exact right time.
Oh my goodness,
you know what?
Gracious.
The interaction here is really great. You dropped it on purpose, roared Mr. Weasley. You knew he'd eat it, and you knew he was on a diet. How big did his tongue get? George asked eagerly. It was 4 foot long before his parents would let me shrink it.
Imagine. That's like your arm. That's longer than your arm. That's like your leg.
I know.
It's longer than your leg.
Harry and the Weasleys roared.
Our kids are 4 feet tall.
Harry and the Weasleys roared with laughter. It isn't funny, Mr. Weasley shouted. Part of me thinks when he says it isn't funny, he's also kind of smirking at the same time. Like, you know that time when your kid does something funny and it ain't right, but funny?
On the flip side, Fred and George, I think, have gotten on their nerves all summer.
That's like, how could they not? I would agree.
I mean, they've been trying all these different jokes and stuff.
I just love it. It isn't funny, Mr. Weasley shouted. That sort of behavior seriously undermines wizard-muggle relations. I spend half my life campaigning against the mistreatment of muggles and my own sons. We didn't give it to him because he was a muggle, said Fred indignantly. No, we gave it to him because he's a great bullying git, said George. Isn't he, Harry? Yeah, he is, Mr. Weasley, said Harry earnestly. That's not the point, raged Mr. Weasley. You wait until I tell your mother. Oh, man.
You know, so these boys, Fred and George, they've been working on this stuff all along. And it goes back to that question that we've had about underage wizardry rules when you are living in a wizarding house. And I really think it's only for muggle-raised kids. Because these guys have been having explosions. They've been trying out stuff. So they've been doing magic all summer long, all year long. And had they had the same qualifications, you know, the same restrictions that Harry has on his house, they'd have been getting notes from the Ministry of Magic left and right. But instead, it's just more of a nuisance for the family. They keep hearing explosions. And of course, Mrs. Weasley has to keep picking up like trick wands and everything. So it's just a nuisance.
Do you get a sense that Molly just really doesn't like the Weasleys, Wizarding Wheezes, because it's not what she expects from her children? Like Bill and Charlie, they got these good jobs. Percy is, you know, as much of a dingus as he is, he's got like a relatively good job. And
When you're an entrepreneur and your family are not entrepreneurs, it is very hard for them to understand what it is that you do. I mean, Blake and I can speak to this personally, being podcasters, and I have my makeup company. Mm-hmm. Our parents have no idea what we do, and they don't understand it. And they're like, wait a second. So this is like your thing?
My dad still calls it blogging. You got that blog that you're doing. No, sorry. That was what he was talking to me.
So I think it comes more from the fact that, like, Molly, you know, Molly's family doesn't have a lot of money. She thinks of the jobs that usually in society do bring about fiscal stability. She's been able to see what has happened for her three eldest boys, where they've gotten very respectful jobs, you know, just in your normal way of work. And here come Fred and George, who act up a lot. I mean, they get in trouble a lot. They are not getting great grades. And then they're trying to make all this joke stuff. And to her, she sees this as just like tomfoolery. You know what I mean? It completely baffles her. It makes me think of, like, there was this kid that I taught years ago. For those of you who don't know, I am a certified music teacher, and I taught for several years. And one of the kids that I taught was not an A+ student. Great personality, super fun, really outgoing, and was really big into skateboarding. And his job now, he is sponsored by, like, Longboard Skateboards, and he, like, skateboards down massive hills and has, like, GoPros and people follow him in a car.
Oh, wow.
And he, like, skateboards for his job.
Whoa.
For these companies, like, to either be caught on video or to try boards out or whatever. And it just goes to show you that it's like, you know, I worried about this kid when he was in school, because I'm like, man, he's just, like, so great. But, like, I don't know what his thing is going to be. And he found his thing and he leaned into it. So, you know, I don't think that Molly had that foresight. Mm-hmm. I think if this was happening nowadays, where people are questioning the necessary nature of people going to college, you know, people are sitting there saying, well, all these people went to college and they're not even doing anything with those degrees, or all these people who didn't have degrees get, you know, the same jobs, if not better. You know, I think that Molly may be thinking about it differently.
Do you feel like this is, like, the one time that Molly may not have been the best mom? Because she's suggesting, like the boys, they need to go into the Ministry of Magic like their father, and all they're doing is just screwing around with jokes.
No, I don't think that she's not being a bad... I wouldn't say she's being a bad mom.
Yep.
I think all she's seeing...
Well, bad moms is heavy. I agree. But just, like, not...
But, like, all she does from these kids is get letters from the school complaining about them. They're making explosions in a mess in her house. They pull pranks on her. They helped Ron get Harry. Like, they just do bad stuff. They're bad kids.
They're doing hood rat things.
So she wants them out. I think she's nervous that they're going to be moochers. She's like, oh my gosh, they want to open a joke shop. They're going to live here till they're 50. Like, I just want to get rid of them. Get a job that actually pays the bills. Get out of here. I don't think she's being a bad mom. I think that she hasn't been able to see the worth in what they're doing. I think she's a tired mom.
Allie here on YouTube says, Mr. Weasley with a Boston accent with the crying laughing emoji.
Oh my gosh.
Could you imagine Mr. Weasley with a Boston accent like mine?
You got plugs?
You got plugs?
Electricity?
Don't make me get your mother. I will. I'll tell her.
And then we get to hang out with Percy. So this is the sprinkle part. This is the sprinkle of the little nuggets of goodness that you want to just, like, put in your bonnet and remember for later. So Percy has this properly respectful job working at the ministry, and he is enamored with his boss, right?
Yes. Let's read the whole thing here. Oh, hello, Harry, said Percy. I was wondering who was making all the noise. I'm trying to work in here, you know. I've got a report to finish for this office, and it's rather difficult to concentrate when people are thundering up and down the stairs. We're not thundering, said Ron irritably. We're walking. Sorry if we disturbed the top secret workings of the Ministry of Magic. What are you working on? Said Harry. A report for the Department of International Magical Cooperation, Percy said smugly. We're trying to standardize cauldron thickness. Some of these foreign imports are just a shade too thin. Leakages have been increasing at the rate of almost 3% a year. That'll change the word. That report will, said Ron. Front page of the Daily Prophet, I expect. Cauldron leaks. Percy went slightly pink. "You might sneer, Ron," he said heatedly, "but unless some sort of international law is imposed, we might well find the market flooded with flimsy, shallow-bottomed products which seriously endanger..." "Yeah, yeah, all right," said Ron, and he started off the upstairs again. Percy slammed his bedroom door shut.
And then Harry goes on, "So Percy's enjoying work," and Ron says, "Enjoying it? I don't reckon he'd come home if Dad didn't make him. He's obsessed. I just don't get him. Just don't get him on the subject of his boss. According to Mr. Crouch, as I was saying to Mr. Crouch, Mr. Crouch is of the opinion. Mr. Crouch was telling me they'll be announcing their engagement any day now." So just going on and on about these issues. And why I bring up Percy is because, you know, later on Percy is talking with Arthur Weasley, his dad, about how, you know, about the World Cup coming up and how, you know, everything's going on and the different people that are situated, but how there is a missing employee and nobody seems to be taking this seriously. Bertha.
Yeah, Bertha.
Bertha Jorkins. And I love how he was like, you know, Ludo's just thinking that, like, whatever, maybe she went to Australia rather than Albania. It's fine. She gets a little lost every once in a while. It's no big deal. But it's important for us to just, like, take that. This author never gives us people's names or knowledge without it coming back. So I'm just saying, you know, put a little pin in there. So the kids are all upstairs. Oh. And you know, they get a little bit of a conversation about Sirius, keep it under wraps, of course, because Ginny is there. And that's really it. They talk about the World Cup that they're going to, which they're very, very excited about. Everybody's pumped.
I feel bad for the twins here. I don't know what's going to happen to them. I really don't. No ambition unless you count making as much trouble as they possibly can. She slammed a large copper saucepan down on the kitchen table and began to wave her wand around inside it. A creamy sauce poured out from the tip as she
stirred. I did not feel bad for them. They just assaulted a boy.
I don't know.
They just, poisoned him to have an extra large tongue on purpose. Now, I'm not saying Dudley is good. I'm not at all. I'm just saying that wasn't really a right choice, boys. Try it out on yourself, Fighter George.
Ultimately, what I like here most is that we are getting a real sense of the Weasleys and how they do interact with each other. The one question that I really have, though, is Molly's making dinner. We got magical things going. Plates are going and things are getting poured and... And then she's stirring around and cream is coming out of her wand. Can you just bippity-boppity-boo food?
No.
Then how can she make a...
There's rules about food. Like, you have to own it. You have to, like, own the food for you to bippity-boppity-boo it.
So it's got to be real food?
Yeah.
She
probably had, like, that cream in her fridge, but then could bippity-boppity-boo the cream from her wand right into the pot.
Hmm.
You can't just, like... I'll find out the exact rules. There was a big discussion about this in one of my Harry Potter groups.
With all the other nerds together.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'll go back to you on it. Did you have anything else that you needed?
No. They talked about Ludo Bagman. They did the whole thing. They talked about the World Cup. They talked about Victor Crumb. I was a decent player. Ireland have got 7. I wish England had got through, though. This was embarrassing, that was. Let's see. Went down to Transylvania. They talked about Sirius for a little bit. I mean, again, you know, as I...
Okay, so there is a law. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go.
It is called Gamp's Law of Elemental Transfiguration. Food is one of the principal elements that cannot be created from nothing. So it's more of a conjuration thing. So they need to be... Yeah, and it... Food could not be outright created from nothing. It could be multiplied if one of the food was already there. It could be enlarged, or the food could be summoned if the person knew the exact location was fairly sure that the food was still there.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, while good food could not be conjured, consumable things such as sauces, wines, and potable water could be. Oh, so the sauce could be conjured, as they were not particularly nutritious substances. Creatures could be conjured, such as snakes and birds.
Interesting.
So if it was like if it's a sauce or wine or maybe some salt and pepper, you can bippity-boppity-boo that.
Okay.
That's like, you
But
got
like
it.
You can't bippity-boppity-boo a potato.
No. But if you already had a potato, you could multiply it. You could engorge it. I said that.
Sorry, you just walked right into it. You walked right in it, right into it.
That's what she said.
Oh man, that was good. Karen asks, where does Mary find all these wizarding rules?
I'm in like so many different like Harry Potter groups and stuff, so I just search like food spells. Because I know that I've had this conversation before.
Something that also is interesting that happens here too. He suddenly remembered the reason he had written to Sirius, and for a moment was on the verge of telling Ron and Hermione about his scar hurting again, and about the dream which had awoken him. But he really didn't want to worry them just now. Not when he himself was feeling so happy and peaceful. I just find that so interesting. Like, Harry is withholding this information about Sirius and withholding this information about his scar because he is with his friends and he's at home, that this is the salve. This is the protection against the world of his scar and Voldemort and all that is related to that. Do you think Harry's making a poor choice here?
I don't really know. It's a difficult one.
That's a good take, Mary.
can you ask me that question again, Blake?
You know what? We got to get the fan out here for the how hot that take was.
I'm just too busy about Bertha. Continue.
Is he making the right choice here? I mean, he's got his friends. This is his family. Should he be able to talk about the...
You know, I would love... if you would talk about things that happened with you, with your friends sometimes.
But Harry's a Gryffindor, I'm a Slytherin, he's an extrovert, I'm an introvert.
He's a Gryffindorin.
Yeah, but I have no Gryffindor blood in me, so...
I do love Harry. He just needs to digest it. I think he worries that he's like a whiny baby, and he doesn't know enough about the scar. As he goes on, he begins to understand more about the connection that he has with Voldemort. He feels better about it. But I think right now he might just be a little embarrassed by it. Like, I had a nightmare and my scar hurt. Like, is this actually a big deal? What are we talking about? Hey, can we go back to Bertha Jorkins?
Yes, go ahead.
Right, so what did you take from this chapter with Percy talking about her? So she's like been all over the different departments. She's just been like a bouncy ball. Nobody really wants to have her. And now she's been with Ludo Bagman.
Yeah. I mean,
and she's gone.
And that's it.
And Crouch is worried about her.
That's it. That's all I got from it.
And she went to Albania.
Oh, Albania. There's some stuff there.
There's been someone there.
There's been some stuff there.
Yeah.
Hashtag spoiler alert. That's interesting. That is interesting.
And she's a little flighty. She's got to know she's a little flighty and where, I don't know where she is, but Percy seems to care a lot. Right.
The last thing I wanted to say here, too, was, look at the time, Mrs. Weasley said suddenly, checking her wristwatch. You really should be in bed, the whole lot of you. You'll be up at the crack of dawn to get the cup. Harry, if you leave your school list out, I'll get your things for you tomorrow in Diagon Alley. I'm getting everyone else's. There may not be the time after the World Cup. The match went on for 5 days last time. Wow, I hope it does this time, said Harry. Molly is getting stuff for one,
three, this is my different perspective.
Four kids. Yeah. Four, five maybe? Five kids? Yeah, Ginny. Five. She's just going around buying all the stuff for all the kids.
She is.
Wow. And then, well, I certainly don't, said Percy sanctimoniously. I shudder to think what the state of my in-tray would be if I was away from work for 5 days. Yeah, someone might slip a dragon dung in it, eh, Purse? Said Fred. That was a sample of fertilizer from Norway, said Percy, going very red in the face. It was nothing personal. It was, Fred whispered to Harry as they got up from the table. We sent it.
Brilliant.
Sounds like a bag of D.
So for those of you who've read the books before, you may be scratching your head being like, why are connections not being said about Bertha? And that is because Blake hasn't read this book yet. And there's going to be elements in this book that as a movie watcher, not a book reader, mm-hmm. are still super new to him.
Yes.
And you know how like frequently we'd be like, oh yeah, and this comes into play in so many chapters, and this is this, and this is that. Bertha Jorkins is the person that is mentioned in chapter one.
Yes.
So, yes, that's fine. But just, as I said, put a little pin in that, Blake.
Put a pin.
I want to talk about it, but I can't. But those of you who read the books, you all know. You all know what I know.
All right.
All right.
Ready for a different perspective?
Yes, I am.
Let's get her done.
Holy cricket. You're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Molly Weasley.
Molly, how are you?
Oh, my God.
What's going on? You seem a little stressed.
Listen, I am counting down the minutes until the World Cup has arrived. Because you know what happens?
Uh-huh. What's that?
I'm free. Hand me a sock, because I am as free as a house elf, baby. My whole family.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much Kevin McAllister.
Like, you're
home
alone.
I'm going to wake up tomorrow, because they have to wake up wicked early. They to wake up at like 3 in the morning or something. Or maybe not that early. That's Cedric Diggory. He has to wake up that early. But nonetheless, they're waking up really early. Uh-huh. I'm going to sleep in.
Uh-huh.
And right now I'm going to wish that I wake up and my family disappears. And I'm going to wake up and they're going to be gone. And I'm going to bippity boppity boo the most luscious dessert.
Uh-huh.
And then my job, air quotes, this weekend is to go shopping.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, poor Molly. She has to go pick up everyone's stuff. Yeah. Do you know what? You know what we do?
Mm-hmm.
You know what us mamas do?
Yeah, Amazon.
We Amazon it. I wrote to Flourish and Blotts, said, I've got these many kids in this class, just put in a box for me. My husband thinks it's going to take me 3 days to get like the robes, all this kind of stuff.
Why wouldn't it? Normally,
Flourish and Blotts, man. Amazon Prime.
We already got that taken care of.
Florian Fortescue, he already knows. I've got a 2 p.m. like standing arrangement for the next 3 days.
Yes.
I'm going to be going to Madame Malkin's getting fit for a new robe. I'm really, really excited about it. So I'm just going to treat myself, you know, maybe get a mani-pedi.
Treat yourself.
I'm just going to window shop. I might meet up with a friend or two.
Oh, you're going to have some wine?
I mean, yeah. Yes. I get to do whatever I want. I'm literally going to be Kevin McAllister with Florian's ice cream on the bed, jumping up and down, eating it, shoving it all in my face, watching trash TV, even though I don't even know what trash TV is. But I'm going to live my best life. So I know that there's many people who've been like, oh, Molly, oh, Molly, oh, Molly. Yes, my life has been hellacious. I just had to spend a summer with my sons.
Brutal.
And my daughter, who bless her heart. But like, something is up with Fred and George. I think it's hormones. They're bananas. I just can't.
And all my the other jokes. Kids I heard they want to open up a joke shop.
And everyone smells. Like, everyone's like, oh, poor you. You have so many men. Yes. And do any of them wear deodorant? I don't think so. So I am going to live my best life.
What's your water bill like? That's the question.
I don't. Listen, I'm on vacation, okay? I'm taking a nap. I'm waking up, and I'm going to wish that my family disappears.
You don't want to do butterbeer. You want to know why? It bloats. Stick with the wine.
You mind your own business. I can bloat however I want to bloat.
No, I'm not saying you shouldn't bloat. I'm just saying in order to consume more alcohol.
No, it's not. That's not my goal.
You're going to want the wine.
My goal is ice cream. Me? You get your priorities straight. I got mine. All right. End scene.
All right. We got some emails here. And let's see what we got.
Oh, Miles here.
Of course, if you are watching us live, the question that you would like us to ask, put it in the comments section.
Even if you already wrote it, rewrite it.
Yeah, rewrite it. And whatever the platform that you're on, whether it is Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook, write the question with a lightning bolt emoji right in front of it. And of course, if you're listening to this in the podcast app, you are not alone. It's okay. You can send us a question. Just email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com or just go to maryandblake.com, hit that contact button, and you'll see a way to write us an email that will go straight to my inbox. And I will read your email and put it in the episode. Marvin, here's the first email. Dear Mary and Blake, my name is Brooke, and I've been listening to the Potterverse almost every single day at work since January, and I finally caught up to the latest episode. I'm excited to hopefully join in live for the next episode. Brooke, I hope you are here. I started listening to the Potter audiobooks for the first time after being a movie lover for years when I first went back and forth after COVID last summer. And once I finished, I wanted more, which is when I found your podcast on Spotify and completely fell in love. Now I'm a proud member of the all-powerful hashtag Nerd Clan, and I'm even starting to listen to the MCU Diaries as well. And she cannot wait to listen to the first episode of Loki. By the way, go check out the MCU Diaries. The first episode analysis of Loki is out, and I will tell you, it is amazing. Thank you guys, she says, for being so basically, for keeping her company at her morning shifts at work and truly being the Lumos in time of Nox. Keep being awesome. Well, thank you, Brooke. I know that's not necessarily a question, but that was just some kind words that I wanted to share. That was written to us because that means a lot, man. It really means a lot.
Yeah.
This one comes from Lacey. She says, what happened to the Dursley family after Harry moved out? Did they become nicer since the Horcrux inside Harry was no longer around them? Was Harry right? Would Fred and George have told Dumbledore if they knew anything? What do you think, Mary? Did the Dursleys become nicer once Harry moved out?
I believe yes. Like, once he leaves for school, I do think that they are a little nicer. I think that they're having to be around a Horcrux for eternity does do damage to them.
Yeah, you think the Horcrux of it all does, like...
Yeah.
Then why don't the other wizards, like, become Dursley-ish?
What do you mean, other wizards?
Well, if they're hanging around with Harry, wouldn't other people around Harry become Dursley-ish?
That's a really great question. I think that... I mean, the Dursleys are the worst sort of people imaginable. Mm-hmm. And that is even before Harry shows up. So I don't think it takes that much to like push it over the edge.
Mm.
Do I think that they go back from being the most horrifically worst people imaginable to just back to the worst people imaginable? Whatever. You guys don't know what I'm saying. They go from wicked bad to still really bad.
All right, this one comes from Marine, proud Nerd Clan member I know. First of all, I love this podcast. I'm so glad you are diving into the world of Harry Potter. Now, I'd like to talk about Aunt Petunia because this email is about chapter 4, the last chapter. Actually, I have a request. There is a passage in this chapter where the narrator says that Petunia is basically biting her tongue not to scream at Harry about inviting the Weasleys over. I think it would be amazing if Mary does her different perspective on Aunt Petunia for this chapter and tells us what is going on inside of her head. Oh. Knowing Mary's track record on those, I'm sure it would be hilarious. Mary, I'm going to give you the next paragraph to figure out your take on Aunt Petunia.
No, I will do it for the next episode because that is a good one, but I need to like have a fresh mind.
But more seriously, I would like to hear you guys discuss the fact that we are hardly ever hear from or about Petunia in the early chapters in all of the books. Harry always has conversations with Dudley or Vernon, but hardly ever with her. And I wonder what your take is on that, especially in relationship with her last goodbye to Harry in the last book, although maybe that part you want to wait until book 7 to talk about. It might be that since Harry only talks to the Dursleys when he needs something, he defers to Vernon because he is the head of the family, but I've always found it disappointing that his relationship to his mother's sister is never fully fleshed out. Can't wait to hear the next podcast episode. Marine.
I think it's hard for her to speak to Harry because she sees her sister's
eyes.
You
stole the words right out of my mouth, Marvin. Oh. I think...
it's like we're married or something.
I know. I think she stays away from Harry.
She has great regret and knows that it just is getting worse. And looking in his eyes would just make it worse. Like, wow, I was entrusted with her son and all I've done is be terrible.
Yep. I totally concur. All right. Let's get to the live questions. I know we got a couple.
Caitlin Marie says, do you think George and Fred would make good influencers in today's internet age? And what would you call their YouTube channel? I think that they would be amazing influencers. I think that they would succeed best on TikTok and Reels as they would be making short, witty, creative videos.
Yes, absolutely.
They would be really into like special effects and everything. So I don't know what their YouTube channel would call.
Yeah, no, it would be the Weasley's Wizarding Wheezes. That's what it would be called. And they would be... My kids, if you guys are on Facebook, my kids love Woody and Kleiny, the two best friends that play jokes on each other and they have fun and they do games and all this other stuff. And it's very funny. And they're actually from England, oddly enough. So I think that's what they would be.
Okay.
I think that's what they would be.
All right.
Rachel. Okay.
Oh, Rachel. Sure. Either. Okay.
Okay. There you go.
Go.
Rachel asks, who would you cast as Bertha Jorkins?
Ooh.
I have no idea since I don't know who Bertha Jorkins is, really.
I mean, she's just like a short, crabby, flighty person. I do not know. I don't know.
Does she have light hair, dark hair? She's flighty. She's short.
Sorry.
Okay. She's short and flighty. Who would I cast?
A bit stumpy.
Melissa McCarthy.
And like crabby. Like, oh. Crabby face.
Anne Dowd.
Done.
Anne Dowd would be Bertha Jorkins.
Okay.
If you are a fan of The Leftovers, she was in The Leftovers. Okay, if you're a fan of The Handmaid's Tale, she's Aunt Lydia.
Just like a little crappy.
That's who I would do.
Kelsey.
Kelsey says, I finally get to listen live from Wisconsin after binging the 3 books in 2 weeks.
Thanks for tuning in, Kelsey.
Love your podcast and appreciate your time and work. My question, why do you refer to the author as the author instead of her name?
Yeah, fabulous question, because we, of course, brought this up on our premiere podcast of the Potterverse. And I was actually thinking, I was like, we should probably do this like once a book, just in case people don't listen to the premiere and they don't know why we do it.
Yes.
So for those who are unaware, the author of the Harry Potter series has made some pretty strong remarks against the transgender community. And Blake and I are allies of the LGBT, you know, Q+ community. And we just want to make sure that we can still enjoy the universe and still enjoy the Potterverse, and not necessarily make it that we are backing what she has said and her beliefs on that matter. Right. A lot of this just came to a huge front right before we started the Potterverse, and we decided not to do the Potterverse. A lot of people who are part of that community or have loved ones who are trans, you know, they were like, all right, we're done with Harry Potter. And then there was another huge portion of the community that said, you know, whether or not this is her statement, we now own it. You know, this has been a place where people of all walks of life, of all different, you know, identities and beliefs and everything have come together to create this magical in their own. So we have decided to celebrate the books, celebrate the fandom, but not necessarily celebrate the author. So we refer to her as the author.
Yeah, because we wanted as Mary said, you can appreciate the story, but not support the author necessarily. And that this is our little way, or this is our way of doing that.
Yeah.
Just using the word the author.
You scrolled down instead of scrolling back up. Thank you.
I think that's it. That's all we got.
Okay. Can you check one more time?
Sure. Oh, there you go. There's one that just popped up. Kyle Ann says, I love the tidbits about Crookshanks with the garden gnomes. Your thoughts, another aspect of life at the Burrow.
Oh, the Burrow is just the most lovely, lovely little place. I mean, hanging out and seeing Pigwidgeon. The gnomes in the garden with Crookshanks just having a blast.
I'm a little disappointed we didn't get a crooky voice.
Crookshanks did not deserve a different perspective. Molly Weasley did.
Molly totally did.
After the day that she had. She needed it. She deserved it. The Burrow is something that I hope at some point the Wizarding World and Universal gets to create, because I just think that it would be a most whimsical, beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you can actually bring that to life, I think it'd be really, really cool.
Carla on Instagram says, I recently joined the Nerd Clan. Love you too. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, Carla. Really appreciate you.
Another member of the all-powerful Nerd Clan family. Yes. Thank you so much. That is excellent.
All right, everybody. I think that wraps up the questions, and we're going to wrap up the podcast.
Let's close this out. Thank you so much. Here we go.
Everybody, thank you for putting up with this podcast, which is a little more disheveled than we usually are. But as I said, just picture Blake and I coming out of the fireplace covered in powder and soot, powder and soot, and being a little disheveled.
I'm using my kid's mouse from his computer. It's like half the size of my pointer finger.
We've had a day, so we appreciate you spending some time doing some Lumos in a time of Nox. And as I said in the beginning of this podcast, if this has brought you joy, truly, truly take a moment and think about joining us at jointhenerdclan.com. Every single patron truly makes a difference for Blake and I. This is my full-time job. It's what I do to help support and put food on the table for our kids and pay for the website fees and everything. So Blake and I love this. It is a labor of love that we enjoy bringing out to the world. So if you can spare it and you want to join thenerdclan.com, you can head on over there.
And of course, go to maryandblake.com as well. Check out all the great podcasts, including the MCU Diaries and also the newly established Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake.
On that note, my name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake.
Mischief Managed.